From the heart of Broadway in his story, it's a dark and rainy night. I'm not even speaking correctly. We have no point to the show. Why the fuck are we even here?
I don't know. You asked us
because
both to
come. Because the people demanded it.
The people do demand it. People weren't satisfied with me talking to Zach Price. They wanted more. More Asa. More Jesse. Less Zach Price. Less Zach Price. And less Zach Price. Hey, it's Trainwreck Thursday on a Friday at Podzilla 1985. And the reason we did that is because of the news coming out of WWE today about Seth Rollins. Ace is shaking his head.
No,
already.
I was really confused because I remember you saying that the PWU was going up today. But yeah. When you said coming out on a Friday, I thought you meant we were recording on Friday, and I just...
Yeah, I also thought...
It's Thursday.
I was about to correct you just to let you know. I was like, hey, buddy, today is Thursday.
I know what day it is. I know what day it is.
Do you?
Mr. 100 knows.
Mr. 100 knows everything. It's myself, Shannon Young, here with Jesse Kimball, Asa Gray, and we're talking about whatever's tonight. It's a train wreck. Tanner's not here for the next 3 weeks, conspicuous by his absence. Also, Lindsay not with us tonight. Dalton not with us tonight. So it's just us three.
The best three.
That's true.
Clearly the best. Better than all the rest.
Sure to not be any awkward silences or... Well, shit.
I want to start the show off by talking about the show I did with Zach on Tuesday. Because, Jesse, you had a problem with it. And I want... No, let's air our grievances right now. Go ahead. Tell me what's up.
I mean, Zach knows that he pisses you off.
Mm.
Now, the only problem that I really had was Shannon said on more than a few occasions, well, you don't make me mad. You make everybody mad, but you don't make me mad. You don't make me mad. And that was making my skin crawl because I know he makes you mad.
I clarified that today on Pro Wrestling Unscripted because we were talking about the podcast and Zach mentioned the show, and I mentioned that you had a problem with it, and I told him what the problem was, and I said, so let me clarify for Jesse Kimball. And I looked at Zach, and I said, you do make me angry. There are times I'm going to slap the shit out of you. I'm going to slap the mixed shit out of you. But it's never to a point like Name Redacted where I never want you to come back in.
Well, no one ever said that you dislike Zach as much as Name Redacted.
No one could dislike Zach as much as they dislike Name Redacted. Just move on?
Yeah.
Okay. But the point is, yeah, so Zach definitely pisses me off. In fact, share a personal story about what happened today. Great story. So we record Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We come in, and me and Zach start playing WWE 2K16. Hunter comes in, and it's like, hey, let's bring Hunter in on this. So all three of us start playing, and he's playing Finn Balor. I pick Sting.
Who's he? There's two
Zach.
Other. Okay.
Zach. Zach picked Finn Balor. I picked Sting, and Hunter picked... who the hell did Hunter pick?
John Cena?
Brock Lesnar? No,
somebody important. I don't remember
Seth
who it was.
Seth Rollins.
No.
Bray Wyatt.
Xavier Woods.
Rest in peace, Seth Rollins.
Roman Reigns.
Please stop.
Cesaro.
Please stop.
No, he said important.
Ah!
I made myself sad.
So you know Zach doesn't like to lose.
Well, absolutely.
And you know Zach's a whiny bitch.
What?
So as we're playing, he's getting more and more frustrated because me and Hunter keep beating him up. Because he's so loud about it. He's so loud about winning and being the best that we... Hunter was just having a great time beating him up and making him angry.
The video that you posted of Zach playing Mario Maker.
Oh, yeah.
With Hunter just there almost in tears.
Yeah. Oh, you should have seen today. Because what happened was I got put out. Whatever. I don't care. I was just playing to have fun. That's all I ever
do.
Were
you guys doing like triple threat match or?
Royal Rumble.
Okay.
20-man Royal Rumble. So it gets down to the final two, which is Hunter as Kane, actually. And Zach
I knew
as,
I love that man.
Zach is Finn Balor, because I think he lasted the entire match. Or he may have been someone else. But point is, so I'm over here working on the show. I'm trying to get pro wrestling uploaded that day. And all of a sudden, I just hear Hunter shriek in victory. And I look over, and Zach just jumps up. He's like, no, motherfuckers, let's play again. Let's play a rematch, motherfucker. I pressed X. Zach is so mad that he lost.
That was a perfect Zach impersonation.
Well, no one's ever said that before.
That one was way better.
So he's so mad, and he's just acting like a child about it. And he is angry to the point that when I looked at him, he's literally shaking. And he's like, come on, let's play again. Like, it wasn't funny. I did not laugh. Hunter did. Hunter laughed his ass off. Hunter was just antagonizing him. In fact, Zach set the match up again, and Hunter walked over because Zach's beating up our characters who aren't moving because we're not playing, but he's still taking pride in it for some reason. So Hunter walks over, he presses start, and then quits. Which just pisses Zach off more. Zach is livid at this point. So he is antagonizing us to come back and play. Hunter, for whatever reason, decides to indulge him. Zach has already set up another match, this time a 30-man rumble, and he made me play as Bam Bam Bigelow, and he made Hunter play as Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. So, I finally walk over, and I pick up my controller, and Hunter and I beat Zach's ass together for like 5 minutes straight. Every time Zach gets up and hits one of us, the other one grabs him and starts beating him down. We just stopped fighting everyone else and just started beating each other up. Even funnier is whenever the computer would finally fight, they would fight Zach. They ignored us completely. So at this point, Zach is in tears. He's so mad. He is shaking, his face is red, and he is in tears. I've never seen anyone that angry when they play video games. And I thought back to what Kaylee said about how, or Zach said, that we've never seen him truly get mad playing games. I think I saw that today, because he was in complete freakout mode.
I'm genuinely surprised he didn't just leave, because that's his MO.
Yeah.
He doesn't say a word, he just walks out.
He was so angry he couldn't leave without winning. That was the thing, he lost. He couldn't leave until he had his vindication. That vindication never came.
I mean, even with UFC, like, he very rarely won, and most of the time whenever he stormed out after UFC, it was after a loss. And then he would slam the glass door against the pillar, and...
I think the thing that pissed him off so much about this one was that Hunter and I just beat him up. We just pounded him into the dirt for making
us
play again.
You guys were cyberbullying him.
We did.
Be a star, Shannon.
We did. Eventually, Zach got put out, and I don't know what happened, but it wouldn't let him pick someone else to
character.
Come in as, yeah, even though he thought he did. So he waited. He sat there for like 10 minutes while we played, never got to come in again, and just watched me and Hunter play. And he was like, come on, fucking throw someone out. Come on. Hurry up. I got to be at work. And eventually he just said, fuck this, and just stormed out and locked the door.
Zach impersonation is getting better and better.
It started as just a deaf person. Like the first time you did it, it sounded
like greased up deaf guy at first.
It really did.
Eventually he did say goodbye when he left, so I think maybe calmed down a little bit. But Zach was the angriest I've ever seen him, and Hunter was just relishing in it. He was just, I kept saying, please stop. Please stop antagonizing Zach, because I don't want to put up with this. And Hunter was like, no. Let's do this. And he just kept fucking with him.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Hunter is not a huge fan of Zach.
No, Hunter likes Zach. I mean, it's the same with everybody else. Zach pisses him off because he's kind of obnoxious sometimes. But Hunter genuinely likes Zach, just like I genuinely like Zach. Hunter also really likes pissing Zach off. I sent him a message saying, you really piss Zach off. And he said, I like it when Zach's mad. He's like a reverse Hulk. I like him when he's angry. And by admission, it was hilarious. But at the same time, oh my God, what an uncomfortable morning. What an uncomfortable day.
So I guess we just need to get a troll face Hunter to start posting everywhere. Instead of the troll Zach.
So we need to get it. Well, have you seen some of the pictures Zach's posted of Hunter?
I have.
There's plenty of
young Hunter.
Of young Hunter looks like such a douchebag that I think we could use some of the. Oh, he does. I think he'd be the first. Him and his wife beater. He looked like a little douchebag.
It's a lot of the area he's from.
Yeah, I can't say it. Go back and look at some of my old pictures where I have my bandana on and stuff. I look like a
plus. It's
gay
the
'90s.
Xbox. I mean, that's a thing.
The '90s were a series of years that. Never mind. You get it. Okay.
Ace is dying.
Ace is cracking up. Oh, well.
Somehow that got Asa. All the things.
That one hit me.
Well, that's the show. We'll see you guys
next week. Now, I will clarify. I did also talk to Zach after the show because I felt a little bad because...
Jesse brought the pain.
My question I thought was a little harsh.
It was. That's why it needed to be said.
Like, it was pretty bad. And I wanted to apologize to him for that, but... at the same time.
But now that you've heard this story.
Well, no, now I heard the, you know, his response to it and stuff like that, like the, some of the other responses he gave. And I didn't know that he wasn't trying to be an asshole. Like, I just assumed that he decided to take his heel character on the road, and, you know, he just never broke character. He was always in that heel mode, except for, and he and I even talked about it, like, whenever it's just been me and Zach, Zach's been fine. Yeah,
he's likable.
No big deal, like, I can have a conversation with him and everything, but as soon as you enter a third person in the mix, particularly when that third person is CJ Tatum.
Or Hunter.
Really?
Well, he.
Well, I
he
mean,
yeah, he goes
well,
into heel
Hunter
mode.
Well, just because Hunter likes to prod.
Yeah, Hunter prods. True. Well, I mean, like anybody, he goes into heel mode. It's just in particular, like he is insufferable when CJ's around.
And he's mentioned on the show. He mentioned on the show we did on Tuesday that he dislikes CJ so much.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I like CJ a lot. I think CJ's a great guy. I mean, he's. I mean, he can be a little.
He's a little awkward.
A little awkward. A little long. Long-winded, but. Good guy.
Yeah, he's a nice guy all around.
Maybe it's because we haven't known him as long. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe Zach's just an asshole.
Also a possibility.
What's the old saying that usually the most obvious answer is the right one?
Occam's razor.
What?
Occam's razor.
The most logical solution is, or the easiest,
the easiest
one
solution
is most likely
is the most likely solution.
I know. I was just playing up to it.
When
I'm
you,
sorry.
When you hear galloping, you don't think zebras. You think horses.
Yeah. I saw a horse the other day.
If it quacks like a duck and walks like a duck, it's probably a duck. It's another one of those common phrases.
What's those awkward silences you were talking about earlier?
I don't know.
I mean, that wasn't so awkward if you were seeing it, because Shannon was giving me this face of, keep going. Keep going.
So speaking away from Zach for a second, I actually do have a serious topic I want to talk about. Something that is actually happened to us here. That, Asa, I'm glad you're here, because I want you to talk about it as well. So our friend Fonzie, who we occasionally talk about, and sometimes we joke about, because he can be a little annoying. But with what happened recently, I kind of thought to myself that maybe I've been looking at it the wrong way, and that I was a little harsher than I should have been in my response to him, especially lately, because I have been so agitated because of my personal life that maybe I wasn't as kind to him as possible. But what has happened is Fonzie's caretakers, and I don't know the name of the place he's at, but he is in a place where he's free to go whenever he wants, and he can obviously walk around the city. Fonzie is a schizophrenic, and he takes medication. We talked about a couple of shows ago, weeks ago, where you were talking about misdiagnosing and schizophrenia and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Well, what happened with Fonzie is he has been more agitated lately. In the past couple of days, when he's been in here, he has cursed at me. He has smarted off to me. Stuff Fonzie never would have done, because for all the shit we give him, we all know that Fonzie is a very likable person and a very friendly person. Well, the reason behind that, as I talked to his sister recently, is because there was some mix-up at the home that he's at the residence, where he was... for whatever reason, put in control of his own medication, to which he refused to take it, and they said, you don't have to take it because you're in control of it, when his sister Abby is in control of it. I don't know why. I don't know what the mix-up was. So Fonzie has been off his schizophrenia medication for the past week, and when I spoke to Abby yesterday, they found him in someone's driveway yelling and screaming and cussing for no reason at all. They tried to take him to the hospital because they want to get him reevaluated. And while they were at a Chinese place, they got him food and they went off to make a phone call. He disappeared again. Now, I bring this up because I didn't, as far as I knew, that was the end of the story. That was the last thing I heard. Today, I was speaking to Tanner and he alerted me to the fact that there was somebody who tried to commit suicide today by jumping off the bridge. Thankfully, they talked the man down. I don't know who it is. I thought it was Fonzie because, as we've said on the show before, maybe we didn't. Fonzie did call one of our friends, Nate Smith, and threatened to jump off the bridge a couple of months ago. So luckily it was not him. They did find him last night and they took him to get reevaluated. But I don't know. I just wanted to bring that up because I wanted to talk to you about the fact that this schizophrenic how was he allowed to decide not to take his own medication when he was not in charge of it? What kind of a screw up do you have to make for something like that to happen? And we talked before, you mentioned how you think that the medical system in a lot of ways is a joke.
Well, that's not even like my opinion. That's just a fact. Yeah. Like there's just, it's plain as day. Cause like, I'd like to say stuff like that is not the norm.
Yeah.
But kind of is.
Especially those homes get like almost no funding.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they're basically volunteers almost that are there taking care of these people who can't really fully take care of themselves.
Yeah.
The only thing that I can like, and I don't know anything about that organization. I don't know what kind of funding they get, if it's even state or federal, or like, I don't know where he stays or anything like that. The only thing that I could maybe think of that would lead to that is if he was making enough improvement that they could have, you know, done some sort of evaluation saying, okay, you're responsible enough and the medication helps enough that you would be able to be in charge of it. But for whatever reason, they didn't go to the person who's already in charge of it and get that cleared.
Who's been in charge of it for...
From day one.
From day one, as far as I know, yeah. And
that's the only thing I could maybe think of other than just being a glaring, terrible oversight.
Well, in speaking with his sister, she told me that he's gotten worse. Over the past few months, he's gotten more agitated. The medication doesn't seem to be affecting him as well as it did before. And...
Well, didn't they change his medication like 4 or 5 months ago?
I think so.
Because I thought I remember him coming in and talking about it. And that was around the time he told you, like, the voices are much quieter now.
Yeah, and he said that a lot back then, especially. Yeah. He doesn't say it as much now. And if you remember, what was it, a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, because it was Krista and Billy is when it happened. I don't remember what the catalyst... Oh, it was after we, I think, had banned him for ignoring the theft.
That was after Krista had left.
Was that after Krista had left?
Yeah,
this was definitely before.
Okay.
Because he saw the fortune cookie. And his sister was trying to get him reevaluated because she didn't think that the medication was working. And he told her that he would not do that because the fortune cookie told him he was going to come into a large sum of money and he didn't need it. So clearly he needs something.
Well, I mean, honestly, that I don't think is so much a symptom of his schizophrenia medication not working as it is like his just general mental handicap. Like,
I'm not staring at you like, I'm curious to see where you're going with this.
That was it.
Oh.
Yeah, like...
Sorry.
I mean, it's one of those things, like, he may have taken it seriously. I mean, it may have been a symptom of the medication or a symptom of the schizophrenia, but I don't know. I don't see... Even if he was on or off his medications, I don't know what would have changed his opinion of a fortune cookie.
Touché.
Because I mean, we're clearly not like we're not psychiatrists or sort of mental health professionals.
We're
pretty much only going off of what we've seen from Fonzie.
I took PY 101 in college. Intro to psychology.
I took journalism. and video production.
It was for a humanitarian credit, and it was the humanities, whatever you want to call it, depending on what school you go to. And it was required. Reason I took it.
The only thing that I learned from my intro to psychology class, because I had a psychology class in high school, so it was all pretty much just that class again. The only thing I learned is that my professor was a crazy woman.
Was she the one that says she can levitate?
Yep.
Oh. Yeah, she is seriously insane.
Did you have her too?
I didn't. My buddy Trevor did.
Yeah, she...
That sounds like a good time.
She... Because we were talking about fight or flight. half the room would try to... Like, if a tiger walked into this room right now, half of you would try to stand your ground and fight the tiger. The other half of you would just try to find the easiest way out and run. And so someone asked her, like, well, what would you do?
Really funny if you were in there with Trevor, because he told me that story too.
It might have been, like, because I'm pretty sure I had a class or two with Trevor.
Because I remember when he told me that story, he was like, everybody in the classroom thought she was kind of normal and, like, seemed like a pretty cool teacher. And then one day she said she could levitate. And that's when everybody in the class was like, huh?
The other thing, and this might have been him too, she could never pronounce anyone's name right. Like, you know that Key and Peele sketch where, you know...
Oh, yeah. Aaron.
Yeah.
And Balaka.
That was basically her. There was a guy in the class named Arnez. Every day at roll call, Arnes. She would call out Arnes. And so she had made mention to her twin sister a couple times in the class. One day, we go into class. She's like, okay, we're going to do a little bit of a change of plan. We're going to just watch this movie, take notes on it. There will be a quiz next class period. Let me do roll call. So-and-so, so-and-so. Arnez, whatever. Like, wait a minute. Did she finally learn it? She gets, because she always butchered my name too. Which she did it again, but in a different way. And then the next class period, as she does roll call, it's back to Arnes. So we're all just like, this motherfucker brought in her twin sister to teach her class one day.
And she just put on the video.
And that's all we did. It's like, it was a 30-minute video. We watched it and we left. So we still had like a 15 minutes left in our section. I was kind of convinced that our final was just going to be we had to diagnose her. Because she was insane.
Like she was a living test.
What mental disorder have I been exhibiting all semester?
Some of you have noticed.
No, I had the easiest, I think his name was Dr. Snell, easiest psychology professor on campus. And I know this because I know of his final. It was 6 questions. He said that because we'd been such a good class all semester, we got the easy final.
He said that pretty much every semester, didn't he?
I'm sure he did.
It's like that marine instructor that says, this is the worst class I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You say right. that to
You're
everybody.
You're the sorriest excuser.
Yeah. So yeah, it was 6 questions, and it was the easiest stuff ever. Like, a guy thinks he's John Lennon. What does he have? Bulimia? it was just like the answer was so obvious that it was
I don't know why I got like Door the Explorer in my head of the guy just saying, what does he have, and just pointing at different things.
Is it an apple? No, Dora, no.
I mean, it effectively was like the final took 15 minutes, and I remember Trevor had the final at the same time I did, and his was across the hallway. So as I'm leaving, after being in this classroom for 15 minutes and then turning in my final and going, I see Trevor, and he looks out and sees me walking by, and I just wave at him like, hey, buddy. And he just flips me off from the classroom.
Well, there was another professor that did psychology at SEMO. I can't remember his name, but 2 of my friends had him, and he was the exact opposite of that. Like, he would take off points on your quizzes and homework for like spelling and grammatical errors.
No, that was Dr. Snell.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I'd heard nothing but horror stories about him.
I mean, it was kind of annoying, but I don't know. I didn't really have that big of an issue with it.
The only class that I had that happen that wasn't an English class was my high school geometry class, which I took as a senior. It is a freshman sophomore level class, but I am not good with the numbers. And it was Mrs. Ha, who I loved to death. She was so intimidating to all of because I'm a senior and basically like a freshman class. I had known Mrs. Ha because I also went to school with her daughter since kindergarten. But so everyone was so intimidated of Mrs. Hawk because it's just this tiny little woman. She spoke very quietly and very eloquently. And she just terrified all the underclassmen. And so there was one day that I got a quiz back and I had missed because she took off points for spelling and stuff like that. I had misspelled parallel. And, because I only put 1 L instead of 2. And so as she's writing it on the board, I was like, oh, make sure you put up 2 L's. She just kind of glances back, says, actually, it's 3 L's in the word. I'm just like, I was like, yep, you got me. Okay.
I'm like her.
Oh, yeah, she was awesome. I loved her.
Yeah.
I was terrible at the class. Like, geometry was not my bag, but.
It's fair. Yeah, no, Dr. Snell's whole thing was, if you've made it to college, you should know how to form basic sentences. And
that's fair.
All of your homework had to be. Like, it was super easy stuff. You just had to go online, watch a video, and then you had to write a 5-sentence essay on it. No more, no less. 5 sentences. And it had to be grammatically correct. It took me 10 minutes every night. And, I mean, if you type it in Word, it's going to be fine.
Right.
Like, it just, yeah, it was super
easy. But when it comes
easy.
In scrawled on a bar napkin.
Right. Wait, because you even had to submit it online.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't something you could write in and then just turn in. Yeah, you still had to do it. So I don't understand people's complaints with it. Because I also, there were people in the class I remember talking about, like, it was bullshit, you counted me off because I didn't put a period in the right spot or I used too many commas. I'm like, use less commas. Like, it's real easy.
Oh, hi.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, I'm still here. I didn't go to SEMO. I went to an Illinois 2-year college. So.
You didn't miss much.
You really didn't.
I mean, maybe some fountains. SEMO's got lots of fountains.
Lots I like of fountains.
Did you ever hear the story behind the fountains?
There's no parking, but oh, there's fountains.
Apparently there is a campus beautification grant. So they had a fuckload of money on that, but they couldn't use it anywhere else. So they started building fountains and they imported squirrels. and they I'm did a sorry. Bunch of painting.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Let's go back to that.
Pause.
They imported squirrels.
Uh-huh.
It is Southeast Missouri.
If they could have just came over to my apartment. I have like 80 of them, and they're big squirrels, too.
Well, honestly, a lot of those squirrels are from the imported ones for SEMO.
Did they not watch the episode of The Simpsons where Bart brings the frog to Australia?
Well, see, the squirrel's already native. They just want more.
Although it did remind me, I'll tell a story about college too. I'll have to think back though, because it was like 30 years ago. I had a teacher in sociology. Don't shake your head. I had a teacher in sociology who was just completely biased against Republicans, and she taught sociology. And my final—that's
just
when she taught sociology. I want to point out too a couple things about Mrs. Bennett, Mrs. Myra Wood Bennett. For anyone listening, they'll know who I'm talking about if they went there. She would always tell you she was not a licensed teacher. She didn't have a degree. That was a red flag for me. I didn't know that you could be a teacher in college if you weren't a teacher. I really didn't know that.
I mean, you
not at accredited ones.
Yeah.
Well, it was Shawnee.
Well, and it's not like you have to get like a teaching degree. You just have to have
a degree in the field.
And normally it's, you know, people have their master's. But, or their doctorates, I guess is preferable. Right.
I don't know if she had any of that, because she just seemed like someone they got down at Starbucks to come talk to the class.
Most of the time you have to have, like, for it to be eligible for an accredited program, the instructors have to either be in the process of getting or are in the process of obtaining or having a master's degree.
Just, I'm not sure anything at that school was accredited. I'm starting to wonder.
He went to her office hours, and it was just her kindergarten graduation diploma on the wall.
So I went down to the main office, and I said, Carol! she had a list of names of people that, if she ever disappeared, would go right to the FBI. That was the kind of teacher I do.
Did she have was it in a program that she had to log in the password every 48 hours or just sent automatically?
My favorite part is that she played up to the African American students in the class, even though they didn't want her to. There was one time, I think his name was Ronald. He was a great guy. I hope I'm getting his name right. If not, he's on my Facebook. I hope he doesn't listen to the show because I don't remember his name. but she was doing a story about Africa. She was talking about Africa, which had nothing to do with the sociology class that was in there right now. She just liked to talk about Africa. She actually came dressed up in full African garb once for no reason at all. She had the dashiki and everything. And she tells him, as she's explaining it, she looks at him and goes, right? And gives him the black fist.
Oh,
and,
shit.
Yeah. And he says to her, no, it's Joseph Stacey. He says to her, black people are doing all right, Ms. Bennett. We don't need your help. She never spoke to him again in that class.
He also probably got added to that list.
But the best thing is my final with her was it was a term paper on the Patriot Act. I told you this story once, I think. It was just what are your thoughts on the Patriot Act? Describe why it's basically what she was saying is tell me why you don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because anyone that was in support of it, I'm pretty sure got B's and C's. I railed Bush in it. I just railed him. And I got an A++++ with a note on it that said, literally, the note said, you get it.
did she ask you to sign your copy and so she could like hang it on her fridge?
Well, I think she just wanted the DNA in case anything happened. It would go right to the federal office. She told the class once that she had a friend in the Pentagon who told her 9/11 was going to happen, and she tried to warn everyone and no one would listen, and then 9/11 happened and she said, I told you so.
Just when I thought the levitating lady was the craziest professor in the area.
This is the woman, whenever people talk about, and it's kind of legendary at Shawnee, by the way, when people talk about that editorial in the paper about how the college was a glorified high school and there was a teacher that was so god-awful, it made you want to quit college.
It was her.
It was absolutely her. And she knew I wrote it. And there was one time in class, she had a different class with Bob. And she literally said, you guys have all read the paper that's out now and about this. I don't want to talk too much about it because his friend is in the class right now. And everyone stared at Bob. Bob said he slunk down in his seat and hit his backpack. So, yeah, she had it out for me at that point. I loved it. It was great.
I mean, I'm
if you're not pissing people off, you're not doing your job as a journalist.
I'm assuming you didn't have her for any more classes after that.
No. Even though she said she wasn't mad at me, she had like a personal crusade against me at that point. The lies in that school after I said that, all the things about me. I heard so many things about myself that I didn't know. I was shocked and disgusted by myself.
It's kind of like when you play on Xbox Live and you find out how many people have actually slept with your mother.
I did not know my mom was such a huge whore. Especially, most of these kids must have had sex with their post-mortem, so that's really sick.
Because their sex organs didn't drop until like 6 days ago.
Right. It actually happened during the game. While he was teabagging me.
Shook him loose.
Like, you play around with someone and they're just kind of normal, and then like the second round, all of a sudden they start teabagging you and like they start throwing out the racial slurs and homophobic slurs, and it's like, oh, your balls just dropped. Like, while this second match was loading.
It's like, he had hair. We didn't have hair before. You know, that's disturbing. Yeah, I miss college.
I don't.
Yeah.
I'm the only
one that misses college.
The only thing I really miss about it is the social aspect, because I did make some pretty good friends. But outside of that, like, I was not happy with SEMO.
Maybe that was just SEMO, though.
It's really unfortunate is that I only have, like, of all the friends that I made in college, I really only have one that I still talk to. It's very sad.
Yeah, Bob. And yeah, we were friends before college.
I was about
college.
To say, you guys were friends before college.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm thinking back, and the majority of the friends that I made in college were from Mizzou when I went and visited my friend Ryan and the G6 floor.
I still have people
Sixth floor Gillette. They were fly like a G6.
Oh, no, don't bring that song back into my head. No, I buried that song so deep. Oh, it's all coming back. You opened me up. You unzipped me, Doc.
And we found the song intro.
No! Yes.
Just especially the considering trouble. The first part and how serious it was in tone.
Never mind. I hated that song so much. Oh, my God. I don't want to do the show anymore. Let's talk about something other than that.
See, Ben Martin, only friend I have. From,
I thought you were going to start talking about
to.
Ben Martin. It's like, I've only met him twice.
I thought he was going to say Ben Martin really likes that song. So fly like a G6. What happened to those guys?
That?
they're like, my friends all listen to that song to nausea. I mean,
have you ever heard of a one-hit wonder?
Yeah, we just talked about one.
There you go.
I mean, there's been lots of one-hit wonders, but they didn't have... Oh, back the fuck up. Devo's coming back.
When is Devo coming back?
The resurrection will be soon.
Soon?
What about Salento?
Are all of them still alive?
Most of them.
Can I point out something real quick? I know you don't want to talk about it because it makes you sad. But if the predictions are correct for his recovery time frame, CrossFit Jesus could come back at Easter.
They could bring him back on the cross.
Oh, no. No, they couldn't.
They won't do that.
Have you met Vince McMahon?
Ever since the that's why they would do it. It's Triple H would just have to be like, yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. Remember when we did that with Undertaker and Boss Man? Yeah, they didn't like that very much.
See, I don't know about that.
The Big Boss Man and the Undertaker had a feud, and this was when
they crucified him.
Yeah, they basically like strapped him to. It wasn't a cross. It was the Undertaker symbol,
which was a T.
It was basically a T. It was like a cross and the pharmacy logo, kind of.
You know what
combined.
Crosses kind of look like?
A T's.
And they crucified him, and they got in a lot of trouble for it.
And then they hung him. Like, they lowered down the symbol, they strapped him to it, and then they hung him.
But that
or
was
no,
a,
it
they
was
raised.
Was
they
it
raised
Austin?
It
they did it to Austin.
It was
they?
Austin. Yeah, because Boss Man. They
Boss
hung.
Man was with him.
Yeah, they hung Boss Man by his neck.
Yes,
literally with a noose.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. There was a dark time in wrestling.
The Attitude Era was a completely different time.
There was literally a time during the Attitude Era, and I'll never forget this, where they were the Undertaker, because it was mostly centered around the Undertaker, too. Like, you think his character is dark because he's the Undertaker. It was really dark back then.
He was literally a demonic Satanist cult leader.
Yeah.
Like, you think Bray Wyatt is creepy in his, like, backwoods cult thing?
No.
He was full-on Satanist.
Yeah. There was a part where he was converting Midian. Or what was his name at the time?
I don't remember.
Phineas Godwin.
Yeah, and him and Viscera.
Yeah.
Both.
Undertaker, literally, on TV, he cut his wrist open and poured blood into Midian's mouth to convert him. I remember seeing that as a kid going, holy shit! How'd they do that?
How? Yeah, people are saying wrestling's fake, but I just watched a satanic baptism.
He just slit his wrist and fed his demon blood to this pig farmer. Because when you're forming a satanic cult, the first people you want are the backwoods hillbillies, you know? Tanner.
I mean, according to Bray Wyatt, that's the right crowd.
I watched, they had a Superstar Ghost Stories on at Halloween for Bray Wyatt, and he told this really creepy story about being out in the woods with Sister Abigail and this man.
Thank God they did it in character.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Because Nikki Bella did one where she was out of character talking about a legitimate ghost experience she had. And then I saw Bray Wyatt and I thought, how are they going to do a Bray Wyatt one? There's no way he can tell a legitimate story because his character is so involved. Mm-hmm. And it was a fake. But it was really good for what it was.
Hmm.
I like Bray Wyatt. Except for... Did you see Raw? I know you did.
No, I didn't. I watched nothing.
Can I tell you
it.
What happened, just real quick?
Yeah.
With Bray Wyatt.
I mean, yeah.
Because I know you like Kane.
I do.
You're a big fan of Kane. So Bray Wyatt, he...
Kidnapped him like 2 years ago, just like they did to the motherfucking... I'm sorry. Tangent. Never mind. Well, irrelevant.
Hold on, baby bird. I'm about to feed you. They kidnapped The Undertaker at the pay-per-view. They kidnapped Kane on SmackDown. So Bray Wyatt came out on Raw and said that he now ate the souls and possessed their power. He then summoned lightning and fire... Because he now owns the souls of The Undertaker and Kane. And it was the dumbest thing.
I'm actually way okay with that.
That is what everyone has said. And I just go, really? Why?
I'm not going to lie. My prediction like 3-4 WrestleManias ago is that Undertaker was going to win, but he was going to possess like someone like Zack Ryder. Or just some random
Zack Ryder wishes
like some
that
random
the Undertaker would possess him.
And it's just going to be the spirit of the Undertaker has gone, and then he's going to wrestle the rest of his career as the Undertaker. Just once Undertaker's ready to step down, they just pass down the mantle.
Well, that's what they said on Raw, was that Byron Saxton said, okay, now that Bray Wyatt has the power of the Undertaker and Kane, he's the most powerful entity in professional wrestling.
So what you're saying then is on Raw he then lost to Sheamus.
He then lost to Dolph Ziggler.
Did he really?
No.
Well, I was going to say, I was like, oh, I'm about to just leave because I'm about to rage quit life because, oh my fucking God.
Have another story of a man jumping from a bridge.
Speaking of death and rage quitting life, did you hear about the guy with cancer?
Yeah. God. The tapeworm guy?
No. No, I regret that joke already. But no, I read about I saw the tapeworm guy on Coast to Coast.
Hold on, rewind. What was the joke you were talking about?
Well, it wasn't a joke. I was going to talk about this guy with cancer. And then speaking of rage quitting life, because he was going to die.
Oh.
It was a terrible joke. Thank you for bringing it back up.
I just didn't
really
know.
I was confused.
I honestly thought you were going to talk about the tapeworm guy, because that was actually really interesting.
It is. And
really
unfortunate. He survived, though, didn't he? Well, are we talking about two different guys?
No, I think he still has cancer.
Well, no. This guy had just a headache. The guy I'm thinking of, I saw it on Coast to Coast. He had a headache. He went to the doctor, and they said it's a good thing you came here because if you had been 30 minutes later, you would be dead. They did brain surgery on him on the spot brain surgery, and they found a tapeworm. I think they said it was a tapeworm in his head, blocking the blood flow from his brain. And they pulled it out. They said it was still wiggling when they pulled it out.
Oh yeah, they don't just die.
Yeah.
They're still kicking when they're in there.
This guy survived. He's fine now. Yeah. He's got memory loss, but he's alive and well.
See, this guy got lung cancer from a tapeworm. Like, a tapeworm had developed cancer and had cancerous cells, and it spread to the host. This guy gave him lung cancer.
I did not read that story. What a sucky life is that you got cancer from a tapeworm who got cancer. This tapeworm decided to throw his life away by smoking, and you have to suffer for that now.
Cigarettes are bad, folks.
When I was a kid, no one wanted to come over to my house because my house smelled like smoke. Because my mom smoked, my dad smoked, and my uncle smoked all the time. All my clothes smelled like smoke. Everything I had smelled like smoke. And I don't know if I will develop something later on because of all the secondhand smoke I endured, but it was bad. So, fuck that tapeworm.
I was in a similar situation, like with all the smoke and everything, but I never noticed it until I moved out of my dad's house.
And you could breathe?
Well, I mean, like, it just, I didn't notice that there was a smell at all. Like, I never knew there was an odor to smoking until I was away from it for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And then I came back to it and I could smell it. And I was like, oh.
I always wondered about that. I had a friend who I'm still friends with, so I'm just going to say it. I had a friend named Raymond. You know Raymond.
Yeah, so. I know Raymond.
And we'd always go over to his house, and I don't know if you realized it, but the moment you walked into his house, it smelled like cat piss. Like, you would hit the wall because the urine smell was so strong. And I couldn't imagine living there in that. Especially in, because he didn't really have air conditioning, so it was just a hot, heated piss smell. And I could not stand to be over there for that reason.
One or more people in that house were likely on meth.
Not at the time, I don't think.
That's what that smell likely was.
No, they had a lot of cats. I legitimately believe that was cat pee. Now, probably meth. If you've seen The Family, which is also my family now, through marriage, which I don't claim, because I have no family.
Because it's through your brother?
My half-brother.
Yeah.
Married his mom's sister. So I don't know what we are, because I don't know anything about...
Technically, you're not related at all, even by law.
Oh, good. Yeah, I don't know anything about family trees, because I never knew any of my family other than my parents. So I don't know. I don't even know... This is how terrible it is. This is how stupid I am when it comes to family. I don't even know how to tell what relations are between people. Like, if you're my brother's whatever, or you're my mom's whatever, I don't know them. When people tell me that's your cousin, I have no idea how we're cousins.
See, it's a really a Southern thing where they will just apply the term cousin to any individual that could possibly be related to you under any circumstance.
That's why I wonder if my cousin Ryan, you know, Kaz, who I love to death, I don't know if he's actually my cousin or not. He just called me one night and said, hey, are you related to this person? Yeah. We're cousins. We are? Yeah. Cool.
See, but there's also different, like, first cousin, second cousin, third cousin, fourth, like, it goes all the way.
I don't understand it. I don't understand any of it.
First cousin is basically your parents' sibling has a child. Yes. Okay. That's a first cousin. Anything after that, I don't know either.
I don't know!
My family
is... Wish Lex Luger were here right now. I just wish Lex Luger were here right now.
Why? So
he could yell, I don't know?
No, I don't think he could. I don't think he has the strength anymore.
Oh.
Can he afford to roll in here and sit with us? I don't know.
But no, your second cousin would be the children of your first cousin.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was going to be like the children of your great aunt.
No.
Okay.
No, man,
that's the children of your great aunt is your cousin once removed.
See, that was the one I couldn't think of. Is there's first and second cousins, and then cousins ex removed and.
Yep. I don't get it.
That's why I'm pretty happy that I have a fairly small family. Like on my dad's side, it's a lot bigger, but I don't know many of them.
I have a very small family. Kaz is my cousin, as far as I know. I have a half brother named John, who I haven't disowned because he's never done anything to me. But we just don't see each other. Last time I saw him was when Mom passed away, and he was at the funeral. And then I have Lindsay, is family, and that's it.
It's okay. They're just feelings. They'll heal.
God damn.
Oh, moving on. No, what I was talking about, the cancer thing, this guy, Daniel Fleetwood, whose dying wish was to see Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And this is, I mean, this is a sad story because obviously the man's terminally ill with cancer and he's going to pass away.
Right.
But the fact that Disney and LucasArts and all the people responsible got him an unedited version of it. Which they keep saying unedited, and I wonder how unedited is it, because the movie comes out next month.
I mean, there's a lot of, like, final touches, polishes, CG stuff they can do in a month.
With a movie like Star Wars, it's like, all right, here's a cut without the special effects.
Well, that was...
Oh, good. See this rag?
Well, that's kind of like what happened with, before people saw the full version and realized just how terrible it actually was.
Origins?
When Wolverine Origins leaked, everyone was like, oh, they didn't even put any special effects in it. Like, there's still green screen. It's like, no, you got the unfinished version is what leaked.
Yeah.
And then the actual part came out and they're like, oh, whoops.
Especially the part where he gets the blades coming out of his hand for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the unedited version of it because Jeremy Griffin watched it and he told me about it. So I looked at it. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I thought, well, that's ugly CG. I can't wait till they redo that. And then I watched the movie. It was the same thing. It looked horrible.
So, but they actually got this guy to be able to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Because I hadn't heard about that last part. Yeah. Like, I heard earlier today that Mark Hamill was in support of it.
Mark Hamill came out and
well, I saw that I had seen that, I guess the two new leads, I can't remember their names at all.
I can't either.
But they came out and said, like, that they were in favor of it. So I thought that was kind of neat.
And it did happen.
You're talking about, like, Finn and what's her name?
Couldn't tell you. I've actually...
The black guy and the girl.
I have. Yeah. I've done... I saw the original teaser trailer, and that's it.
Oh, really? Oh, so you haven't seen the full trailer?
I haven't
yet.
Seen the full trailer.
It's amazing.
It's the same thing with Spectre. I saw that first trailer that came out.
No, I haven't seen anything on Spectre.
Do you want to see the trailer?
No, I don't.
Or you're avoiding
I'm avoiding it. Okay. Because I feel like a lot of Avengers, Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Watching the trailers religiously over and over again set my expectations for the movie. And when Ultron was more jokey.
Yeah.
Than just straight up menacing, like he seemed like he was in the trailers, I was disappointed. So,
Jesse, can you think of a movie that we watched the trailer religiously for, and then when it came out, we went to go see it, and it was like that episode of The Simpsons where Krusty watches Worker and Parasite, and he goes, "What the hell was that?" Do you remember what movie I'm talking about?
I mean, that's been a couple of movies with me.
But there
and
was,
you.
But there was one, and Kevin was involved in this one. If that gives you a hint.
Prometheus. Blank.
Prometheus.
Oh, yeah.
We watched the trailer for Prometheus over and over again, and we're talking about, oh my God, this is going to be the greatest film of all time. And it was a good movie, but our expectations were set so high from the trailer that it could never satisfy
us.
Well,
not even like my expectations were set high, just,
your expectation for that character?
For that, because I love Ultron. I'm a huge fan of Ultron in general. And that first trailer where he's like the
no strings on me thing.
Yeah, and it was just creepy and menacing. And then, while I really liked Age of Ultron, I really did, and I liked the way that Ultron was portrayed, especially when someone, I think it might have been you, pointed out to me that, well, the reason that he's joking kind of like, and he has a little bit of a sense of humor, is because he's from Tony Stark's AI. Yeah. Or it's like, it's his personality, so it would make sense that he would have a sense of humor and kind of fuck with people.
Yeah.
But that's just not what they portrayed in the trailer, so I'm kind of sequestering myself away. Same thing with Civil War. They showed like they announced like who the teams are. No idea. And I cannot
fathom how they're going to do Civil War without all the characters available. And I'm sure you're going to talk about that on The Marvelous Jesse and Chris.
We've talked about it a couple of times actually, because we're also stumped. It's one of those things that the original Civil War obviously was about registration.
Yeah.
They can't do a Civil War about registration.
Yeah.
In this one, like, and a lot of people are arguing that with me, like, no, yeah, they can totally do it. That's what it's going to be about. I'm like, how?
And is it really a civil war when it revolves around, like, 10 people?
Right. I mean, and that's the thing, especially with, like, it can be a civil war with 10 people, mm-hmm. especially when you get 10 people as strong as the Avengers.
But then it almost kind of just turns into, like, X-Men schism.
Right.
Like, I think, because to me, like, the term civil war, when it comes to Marvel, it has that weight of registration, and it was the entire cast of characters
yeah. right.
had aside.
Yeah.
Because was it, I don't remember which movie it was, but it was either one of the Captain Americas or one of the first Avengers, where basically Tony Stark leaked all of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s files to the internet. Like, he just uploaded everything they had.
I think it was before Avengers that happened.
It might have been one of the Iron Man movies, but yeah. like, that was a huge, so it's like, what are you gonna do? Reveal someone's secret identity? Well, if S.H.I.E.L.D. already knew it, then it's,
well, yeah, and I mean, that was one of the things we talked about. Like, on the Avengers currently, who has a secret identity?
Yep.
On the Avengers, like, in the movie?
Yeah, in the Marvel movieverse, who has a secret identity right now?
Spider-Man.
They announced Spider-Man for it, and yes, he has a secret identity.
I would say maybe, like, Hawkeye and Black Widow. Like, their real names may not be known.
Yeah, because they're straight-up assassin types.
Well, I mean, their real names are known by the government organizations that employ them.
Right. But as far as, like, the common person, I don't know. Yeah. Well, I guess that's not really a secret identity as much as, like, a code name.
Because, I mean, even registration was just registering with the government. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't actually putting your name out there for the public. It was just the government had access to it. And obviously then the supervillains could get it because it's, you know, in a easily hackable computer.
Right.
Because apparently every computer is easily hackable in the Marvel movieverse. Marvel universe.
Yeah.
But do you remember why they did that in the first place?
Yeah.
The catastrophic event that caused them to do something so drastic.
Yeah, it was a bunch of, like,
a school.
Yeah,
well, a bunch of kids died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a bunch of kids were trying to stop this superpowered bad guy, and it went nuclear and blew up a chunk of a town.
They didn't understand their real power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all of these innocent people died, including children, because I remember there would be a school being part of it. Yeah.
No, it was a huge...
Because it was a huge chunk of a city.
And what surprises me is that if you played the Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 game, I thought, okay, how are they going to skip over this? They didn't. They showed it too.
Yeah.
People still died. Are they going to do that in the movie?
Well, they can't. It's not going to be about registration.
Exactly. So why even call it Civil War? I get it, Civil War, sort of, but I just feel like that's a misleading title.
But to me, that almost makes it more exciting. Because I like that they're not just rehashing because they have yet to really completely rehash a full storyline.
No. Yeah.
With the exception of Winter Soldier, but they at least still tied in, Hydra and everything.
Yeah,
with
they
that.
Did a lot of extra. Like they pull elements that exist, like storylines that have existed. But it's kind of one of those things where you can easily see this as another universe where you know,
it
a
is.
Few different.
Yeah, yeah. It's like not. It's, yeah, it's, what is the official?
It's like Earth 99110 or something like that.
What's the official comic? Or is it Earth 616 still?
That was what it was before Secret Wars, yeah. But that's a whole other.
I gotta listen to your show more.
It's true.
I got on to Jesse because I listened to a show this morning.
That's true. But
you have a problem with it?
No, just the other day, Dylan and I were talking about Batman Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
And Jesse's like, still haven't finished it. And I'm like, how? And he's like, I don't want to know. Like, I'm going to go back to it, but I can't stop playing Destiny. So
you
I'm never...
still don't know who the Arkham Knight is.
Correct.
He doesn't. So
I have managed to dodge that
spoiler. Me and Dylan were talking about, like, we were discussing it, but without saying the names. And then, on their latest episode, they're like, oh yeah, and this thing with this character, and when he dies. Well, that was like 3 issues ago. If you're not caught up by then, you've had plenty of time. And I was just like, oh, you motherfucker.
No, I mean, to be fair, reading, like, a comic book will take you 15 minutes to read.
That's true. No, yeah, and that's why I was just like, I just have to give you a hard time about it. Like, yeah. I'm not... I in no way thought that was actually bullshit or anything. I just...
Like, go back to one of our first episodes when we were talking about Star Wars. And I mentioned Darth Vader being Luke's father. And Zach being
Zach
like...
Zach got really pissed.
Yeah, he's like, well, what the fuck, man? Don't spoil it for me. I'm like, that movie's 30 years old.
That is that is in the zeitgeist.
Yeah, that actually reminds me, going back to when I worked at Burger King when I was 16. Star Wars Episode 3 was about to come out. And we had these toys, these really cool little Star Wars toys that you got with kids' meals. And 1 in 100 toys that went out was a little Darth Vader toy. Now, this Darth Vader toy, when they were advertising it, it actually said, open up Darth Vader to reveal the secret about his true identity. And I was like, wait. We've known who this motherfucker is since, like, 1983. Is that when that movie came out?
Yeah, because 77 was Star Wars, 80 was Empire, and then 83 was Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, no. So we've known who Darth Vader is since 1983.
Apparently we didn't.
Which, I mean, and that's different, because, like, Star Wars has infiltrated every, like, even the most anti, like, nerd culture person
right.
knows Star Wars.
Luke, I am your father.
Yeah.
Not Jordan.
Even but, Jordan's heard, Luke, I am your father.
I don't think he
Which
has.
Is funny, because he never actually says that in the movie.
What was the exact way he said?
I am remember. Your father.
Yeah,
you know,
Obi-Wan
look
never
into your,
told you about look, what happened to your
to
father.
Your father. Look into your heart, you know it to be true.
Yeah.
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 But no, but to kind of go along the same way as that, I remember when a lot of when Winter Soldier was being advertised, there was a huge thing on Reddit about people, whether or not there should be spoiler tags on posts about Bucky Barnes yeah. being the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's like, I never thought about like, well, I've just always known that. Like, as long as the character has been around, just because I keep up enough with like,
comic books in
comic
general,
books
yeah.
and that you know realm of nerddom that like I was able like I was aware but you know that but it made me think it's like wow there probably are like with as huge and how many people go and see these Marvel movies versus if you just look at the sales of the books
yeah
there are millions more people are watching these movies that probably
no
don't
idea.
Have any idea that yeah. it, and so that's I just thought that was kind of interesting it's like well yeah that is kind of like common knowledge but I guess only if you're really
into
yeah.
the lore.
If you're into the lore already.
We had that situation a couple of weeks ago. I showed her Under the Red Hood, and I knew it was Jason Todd.
Right.
I knew Joker killed Jason Todd and whatnot, but then I thought to myself, I'm like, I keep talking about it. I keep saying, yeah, Under the Red Hood and Jason Todd and this, and I thought, am I ruining it? Because it's not really a big surprise, but if you don't know that Jason Todd is the Red Hood, it kind of takes away from the impact of the reveal. You know?
My only complaint with Under the Red Hood, because that is one of my go-to, like, oh, my internet's down, I can't connect to Netflix, I'm gonna pop that in.
Fantastic, yeah.
It's amazing. Movie. My only complaint is I don't think they do enough in the beginning to establish the importance of Jason Todd as Robin.
Yeah, they just show the death scene.
It's pretty much they show the death scene. If they would have, like, added 10 minutes of them taking down the Riddler, which, I mean, they kind of do.
They do
that,
eventually.
They kind of show that, like, okay, this is when he's beginning, and this is when he kind of starts to rebel because he's growing into an adult.
Angsty teenager.
I just wish that just at the beginning, they would have shown, like, one mini adventure of, you know, chasing Killer Croc through the sewers.
Yeah. I also, not to talk about the Red Hood too much, but I also had a problem with the fact that they changed the origin from the beating with the crowbar to the beating with the crowbar, and then he blew up.
I understand why they did that.
Why do you think they did that?
Because the crowbar is just so violent.
It is, but I mean, it's an adult movie. It's not rated R, but
the entire DC Direct, like the
it's becoming more and more violent. I mean, what was that one you watched a while back?
Oh, Gods and Monsters.
Yeah,
woo!
I mean, just watching that short that they had where he fought Harley Quinn. Yeah, it was super violent and disturbing. You know?
Yes, very much that.
I still haven't seen those. I really need to.
I think the shorts are better than the movie.
I haven't seen any of the shorts, but the Harley Quinn one, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely.
Well, I mean, even I just mean Quinn any one. Of the DC ones that they've put out. The last ones that I saw were the Dark Knight Returns. I
have several of them on Blu-ray. If you want to borrow them,
I'm really hoping they tackle some of the darker stories from DC if they're going to go that way. Like the Batman Vampire one is one of my favorite comics of all time, and I've got it. But it's so violent. I don't see how they could ever do it. Realistically.
I mean, well, you haven't seen Gods and Monsters. Well, yeah, you saw that short.
I saw the short, but I mean, in this, they take stakes and shove it in each of Harvey Dent's ears. They behead, Jeeves.
Jeeves?
I love that. They rip Joker's throat out. I mean, it is so ridiculously over the top violent that there's no way they could do that and get away with it unless they made it just flat out R. And who's going to buy an R-rated animated film?
Well, there was the rumor, which I mean, it got shot down pretty quick, that the Killing Joke was going to be rated R.
Well, no, it wasn't a rumor. WB gave the green light.
Oh, to do a rated R version of it?
They said, like, if you want to make it R-rated, go for it. It's a mature story. You can do it.
And it really is. Like, if there's going to be a Batman story that gets an R rating that is mainstream enough for them to like sell it as a Blu-ray, that's the one.
I mean, yeah. I was surprised Dark Knight Returns didn't get an R rating. Like, they didn't go full out with it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe WB... I think at the time that one came out, WB didn't really think the whole mature storylines and stuff like that were going to be as popular as they were.
And this seems... It almost seems like a reaction to the tone of Dawn of Justice and the Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Because, yeah, that has gotten a lot of just, like, really good publicity and, like, sales on Suicide Squad. That's one of DC's better-selling books right now.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, with the movie coming up, then the DC Directs, like, the Assault on Arkham that features the Suicide Squad was fantastic. I've got that one on Blu-ray.
I still haven't seen that one.
Yeah,
oh, it's really good.
Yeah.
I might just bring it in the store one night. We can have a movie night.
Ooh.
Who knows?
But anyway, we like movie nights.
I love movie nights. So, yeah, the WB greenlighted an R rating, but the writer, I don't remember, it's not Bruce Timm, it's somebody else that they get. They didn't know if they were going to go that route, but they got permission.
Okay.
We watched a fantastic movie the other day, Bone Tomahawk. God, I loved that movie. Did you like that movie?
It was a really good movie.
I love that movie.
Jesus Christ, it was disturbing in a couple of places.
Yeah, that's what horror movies are supposed to be. That to me is a fantastic horror movie because there were little to no jump scares at all. Like the scariest parts about it that happened suddenly is they would be talking and all of a sudden someone got hit with an arrow. It wasn't loud. It wasn't in your face. It just happened and you go, oh shit, what's happening?
Yeah.
And yeah, the scalping scene was by far one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen in a horror film.
Yes.
My friend came into town for a couple days, so we just binge watched movies. One of them that we saw was The Taking of Deborah Logan.
Love that movie.
It was good.
That one, like, I've been fortunate enough that Alzheimer's hasn't, like, affected my family.
Yeah.
But I have friends who it has, and so I know, like, so the beginning was really hard for me to, like, I was like, oh man, that's, cause Alzheimer's is a motherfucker.
It is.
Like, it's the absolute worst.
My father was in the early stages of it when he passed away from cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Dad had a good role in life.
But
I thought that was scarier than the rest of the movie.
See, I did too. Like that, just that kind of, and then, I mean, and it very quickly devolved into this is something
standard
else.
Horror.
Yeah.
Once it got to the snake thing where she's eating people, even though it was still good, I still thought like you, the first and the middle where they were dealing with her just being crazy was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We thought The Visit was going to be that way. It wasn't.
But the other movie that I saw that I cannot recommend enough to people, isn't a horror movie, but it's called An Honest Liar. And it's the Amazing Randy's story. It's a documentary about this escape artist and magician from like the 70s and 80s. And he made his life.
Are you talking about the Randy? He has the $1 million bet to anyone that can prove.
I think he does have that. They don't really go into that.
Because he disproves frauds. He disproves the paranormal.
He pretty much made his life mission to go around and just fuck with Uri Geller.
Yeah. Because that guy was a joke.
He is. He no longer says that he's a, he doesn't claim to be a psychic. Now he claims to be like a mystic or something. But he went and completely defrauded or, completely shut down Uri Geller. Well, he attempted to, and people are just, and it was really infuriating to watch. Cause it's kind of like when you're watching Parks and Rec, and Leslie Knope is just doing the correct thing to help people. And they're just like, you're dumb. We don't like you. But he goes around, he shut down this like super popular, televangelist or not faith healer. Because he sent in a private investigator with a radio detector and he found like the signal that his wife was reading him the lines and like, okay, she's going to be on your right. Her name is Gloris Everday, 124, Glendale Street. She has cancer. And then he would do the whole, it's so good. And his life is, it's fascinating. So it's an honest liar. It's on Netflix. Watch it immediately.
I don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, I've known about the Amazing Randy for years, but you know, I'm heavy into the paranormal.
Right.
And so I have respected him for a long, long time because a lot of those, I don't like fakes. I don't like frauds.
Right.
There was a great moment. They had this show on NBC years ago where it was, I don't remember the name of it, but it was all about magic, like who could be the best magician.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Chris Angel.
Right.
Chris Angel is a douchebag. As said on Supernatural. But there was this amazing thing he did once where this guy, his gimmick that he went on stage and did was like he talked to the dead. And Chris Angel was so offended by that that he made him a bet. He put an envelope and he wrote something on it and put the note in the envelope and said, I will give you, I forget how much money it was, but it was like millions of dollars on the spot right now if you can tell me what's in the envelope. And the guy refused to do it because he said, you know, it's not the right, whatever. Mm-hmm. He made up excuses. At the end of the show, Chris Angel opens up the envelope and it says 9/11. And he says, if there were psychics in the world, they would have predicted this and none of that would have happened and you're a fraud and just completely shut the guy down. And I loved that. Yeah. That was amazing.
To the same effect, they show the very, it's kind of infamous now, especially for people who know Johnny Carson.
The spoon?
Because they had Uri Geller on to demonstrate his powers, and they had a whole tray of stuff. And Johnny Carson, because Amazing Randy had been on the Carson show the Tonight Show multiple times.
Yeah.
Like he and Johnny would seem to be pretty good friends. And so he asked him, he's like, hey, how can I, you know, we want to make sure that this is done right if this guy is who he says he is. And so Amazing Randy, he wasn't even there. He was just like, have your producers do this. And he won't be able to do any of it.
And he wasn't.
And it was just that he floundered.
He said,
tonight.
The flow wasn't right or something like that.
Yeah, just some bullshit excuse because he's a fraud.
It was awful. It was absolutely awful. If you like that, I also want to recommend a movie called Red Lights. I don't know if you've seen that. It's got Robert De Niro and Cillian Murphy. And it's basically...
Sold.
Robert De Niro is basically a magician or a faith whatever. Mm-hmm. And he can talk to the dead and all that. And Cillian Murphy works with an organization who tries to disprove it. And I don't want to spoil it because the ending is a big twist.
Mm-hmm.
Watch it. It's really good.
Is it on Netflix?
I don't know if it's on Netflix. I'll have to check. I think it is.
I'll look it up.
It's Sigourney Weaver's in it as well. And it's a fantastic. Oh, and Emily Olsen.
You had me at Cillian Murphy. I love
isn't
that.
He beautiful?
I love that man.
We were talking the other day about if there was one guy you could have sex, you would have sex with, who would it be? And I said Cillian Murphy in Batman Begins.
Oh, God. His Scarecrow is
fantastic.
So good.
See, and that, like, I will say, like, as much as Heath Ledger gets the justified praise of his work as the Joker, because that will go down as one of the all-time great movie villains.
Yeah. Or characters in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Cillian Murphy's Jonathan Crane gets completely overlooked because he was so good in that role.
Yeah, and he looked perfect. The part at the end of Batman Begins where he comes riding the flaming horse.
That was my least favorite part of the movie.
I loved that.
Not the fact that he was just so easily dealt with.
Oh yeah, that was just stupid. They just hit him with the taser and he's gone.
A taser in the face. And like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah, that's going to put down a guy.
And plus, like, that Scarecrow has gone down like that many a time in the comic book.
And that's what I've always disliked, is it's always so...
I did love the way he rode away screaming, though.
Yeah.
That was creepy, genuinely. Mm-hmm. And King Joffrey was there. From Game of Thrones, the kid.
Wait, what?
Joffrey,
really?
Yeah. He was the kid in that movie.
The little kid where Batman gives the battering, or he's like, the kids at school won't believe me. I think
it was like a night vision goggles or something.
Yeah, it was. He tosses
it wasn't a weapon.
No, yeah. He tosses him some, like, piece of his gear.
Huh.
Yeah, that was Joffrey.
It's been a long time since I've seen
that.
There's
a meme, and it's like, he says something like, Batman, just go and do great things. And then it cuts to him with the crown as Joffrey. Oh, I will.
He was a spin king.
He's spin king.
The more he spent, the more he died.
I'm not gonna lie. Like I don't toot
spoiler.
I don't toot my own horn much. But the enter promo code Rock's cousin.
That
to
was
get a,
fantastic.
That I was real proud of that one.
I think, like, I made that joke today on PW and credited you.
Did you?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'm funny.
We're over an hour. Let's wrap this up. I do want to talk about two things before we go, though. One, next week, we have a special week planned for the show. Jesse, we've discussed.
Should I forget all about that?
Well, there's a logo now. Now it's official.
Oh, shit.
It's Nostalgia Week on Podzilla 1985. Every show is going to be centered around something we enjoyed as a child. Wait, what's up?
I'll tell you after.
Okay.
Because I have an idea. No, like, it's something that I want to do for that. But I don't know if we'll be able to or not.
We can do anything you want, ever.
You heard it.
Asa. Anything. But yeah, that's all going to be all next week. Every show. It's going to be fantastic. Two, this Saturday, we have the Extra Life Charity Marathon going on here at the store. We're going to be here from 10 to 10. We're going to have the stream going the entire time. God willing, assuming I don't screw something up. And we're going to be playing games for the Extra Life Charity. We have it on our Facebooks. You can go donate through Hunter Hendricks. I think we all pretty much just...
Yeah.
Send people to Hunter Hendricks now.
Well, yeah. And we can, like, the one that I shared on my page is just Hunter's page.
Yeah.
So you can go, like, we can put it up on the Podzilla. Like, we'll post it on
Absolutely. But I do ask that you go donate. Watch us this Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have our D&D session. We're going to play some wrestling. We're going to play some
Mario Maker.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you guys can join us. It should be a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is going to wrap it up for us today. Jesse and Asa, thank you for coming in.
Yeah,
of course,
thanks for inviting
me on this rainy night. Of course I invited you. You own half the company. How can I not invite you?
Well, I've tried. I like to be polite.
You got mad.
Wait a minute, man. You sold me a bunch of your shares for a sandwich one time.
The shares were worthless. Anyway, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you again on Sunday probably, or Monday, Tuesday, whenever.
Saturday
for the Extra Life Charity. Jesus Christ.
Shannon's tired.
I got to get this brain worked on. Anyway, maybe I got a worm. thank you guys for listening. We'll see you on Saturday. Have a great night, and bye. Someone else say something.
Bye.
There you go.
Something.